Four of the, or part four, part five, something of the series, I can't remember. But what's love has got to do when it encounters demonic activity in a person's life. And if you remember last week, we began to look at the father who brought his son to Jesus, remember? And he brought his son to the Jesus' disciples. First of all, Jesus and Peter and John had Peter, James and John had been up the mountain, and Peter, James and John had seen Jesus, as we, you know, like to put it, been glorified, you know, transfigured before them, and it kind of blew them away a little bit, and Peter started burbling some religious words, and Jesus ignored him. But the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And they came back down the mountain, and they discovered that this father has brought his son to Jesus. His son was demon possessed, and the disciples had been unable to do anything for him. And so he then comes to Jesus, and he says, "Look, listen, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything with him, and so I'm just kind of trying to pick it up again somewhere." And I kind of stuck a few different scriptures together from Matthew and from Mark, from two different gospels, and kind of put them together. But I'm not going to read them all again. But it says, Jesus answered and said, let me just start here in verse 14. "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to Jesus and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son. Have mercy on my son. For he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him in both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we began to look at, remember these six different headings we've been looking at as we've been through this series, and then we looked at the first two in regards to this last week. But maybe one of the things he said was a lot of people just think of demonic activity as being demon possession, and therefore they think, well, no Christian could ever be demon-possessed, but there's so many other different types of demonic activity that can affect and impact upon a person's life. Possession is when a demon takes over a person's life completely. But there's many different ways that demonic activity can impact and affect upon someone's life, and there's depression and repression and demonic impression, you know, that attack on your thought life, all the different types of pressure and session, as I said before, but we need to understand that, glory to God, hallelujah, we've been given authority over all of these things. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. But the first thing we saw that love has to do something. Love encounters this, that God doesn't want us suffering under any kind of demonic attack upon our lives. And he's made provision for us to not have to live under that stuff. And because love has to do something, and every one of us knows that that's a parent. That if one of our children is struggling or suffering with something, there's nothing we want more than to be able to release them from that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's not a lot we can do about it in the natural, but our Heavenly Father can do something about it. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's our love for our children that wants us to do something with it. And our Father loves us so much that he wants to do something about anything that's impacting and affecting our lives negatively. And not only does he want to do it, but he can do it. And so love's got to do something with it. Hallelujah. So the first thing is that love invokes truth. To invoke means to cite or to appeal to someone or something as an authority for an action in support of an argument. And you know, Jesus appealed to this man, and he says to him, you know what? How long has this boy been like this? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for him? You know, and the father, he says, because all things are possible if you just believe. And Jesus, and the man's like, well, I believe, but tell you what, we help my unbelief. You know, it's not enough. Some people claim to have this great, you know, this, who knows, you can talk the talk. Talking the talk is cheap. But walking the walk isn't sometimes quite so straightforward. Amen. And you got to, if you're going to have integrity in your life, because integrity is when what you say and what you do that match up. And the world's looking for integrity. Especially in the church, because sadly the church has lacked that sometimes. And everybody's got a dozen stories of church folks that have no integrity. Amen. And the devil uses these things and throws these things up before unbelievers and says, well, they're no different from you. That's what we need to be different. We must be different.
Right.
We have to have a testimony that's different from theirs. Yeah, we'll face the same things you face, but hang on. I need to tell you, I'm not under it anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm over it. And the reason I'm over it is because God helped me get over it. Because God loves us all so much and he wants to help you to get over it. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And so it's, you know, it's not enough to just pretend that we have this, you know, because it's not about our great faith in that sense. It's about, all you need, all that faith does, great faith does is believe in that God loves you. The more you believe he loves you, and the more you refuse to be shifted from that and allow anything to move you from that, the more effective your faith will be. Because faith is made effective through love, through the revelation of how much God loves us. Hallelujah. So you don't even have to say, I can't believe. It's not about gritting your teeth and saying, oh, I must have more faith. No, it's just saying, God loves me. I refuse to accept anything that doesn't conform to that truth and that reality. Hallelujah. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Love invokes truth. Hallelujah. And you can say, Lord, and the Lord doesn't condemn him for saying, oh, so you've still got some unbelief. Well, we'll have to work on that. Come back in a fortnight after you've worked on that. The more honest we are, the more chance we have of actually receiving something from God. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil hides behind the lies. Even the lie that says, oh, I've got it all together, you know. I never doubt anything. Hallelujah. Anyway, second thing is, love invites action. We looked at these last week, so I'm not going to go over them again. To invite means to make a polite, formal, or friendly request to someone to go somewhere. Or to do something. So Jesus invites the man to bring his son to him. Why? Jesus could have gone to the boy. But he invites the father to bring his son to him. There's only maybe a few paces between them, but he's asking the man to do something with his faith. Hallelujah. Love invites action. And so the man brings his son to Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyway, we're going to move this forward because, hallelujah, we're going to get to number 3 right now. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you might never get number 3 until next week or something. So, the third thing is, so love invites, love invokes truth, love invites action. The third thing is, love invades darkness. To invade describes an armed force or its commander entering a country or region in order to subjugate or to occupy it. Hallelujah. There you go. If you don't know what subjugate means, look up and you go. Hallelujah. Who knows, every demonic stronghold is a stronghold of fear.
Yeah.
Fear is the only weapon the enemy has against you. That's why faith is the antidote to fear. But really, faith is really love that's the antidote to fear. Because, amen?
Yeah.
Because perfect love casts out all fear. So our faith is attached to the fact that God loves us. Amen? Faith without faith that's unattached, or become, has become detached from that revelation. Faith that's just, I've got faith in my faith. Well, maybe I don't know if that's a good idea. I mean, because a couple of weeks ago, I was working, my printer works hard, pure old printer. It just works non-stop, this pure old printer. And so And I don't know many printers I've been through. And this last one, I didn't buy it long. It's only about a year old or something, but it works, you know. Put it to work. You've got to have something, put it to work, so. About a week ago, I was doing some stuff. I was getting to the bulletin, and I went to switch on the printer. Nothing. Absolutely not. Indeed. So, oh, well, that's the end of that. So I go on Amazon, boom, 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 boom. Think, well, I can do it this way, maybe. Go on the Amazon, find a new printer, order the printer. And so then, a couple of days later, I got an email saying it's been dispatched, so it's on its way. So I think I better get the other old one off my desk. So I go to clear, get it off my desk. And I've got to, before I put it in the bin, I'll just try it with a different power lead. So I take it off and I get a wee table beside my desk, I put it in the table, and then I get another power lead, and I put another power lead in, and the printer comes on. So then I think, let's go back to the original power lead and I'll check the fuse in it. So I get the original power lead and I pop the fuse compartment open, and I take out the fuse and I put another fuse in and stick that power lead in, sure enough. There was nothing wrong with the printer, but the fuse. How many things these days still work because the fuse went? I mean, not that many, really, to be honest. So there we go. I've now got two printers. The one on standby. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because when you buy all this ink for them, it's really good. And sometimes you get a niche printer that doesn't even take the same ink, and you've got all this. That's it. But thankfully, this one, both these printers take the same ink, so any ink that I already have will work for both. Anyway. Hallelujah. But just that simple thing, that little fuse. And, you know, and that stopped everything from working. Just that little disconnect caused everything to, all the work to cease. And sometimes it's the same with us, you know, and if you need to understand that love is the fuse that keeps the power flowing. And if your love fuse blows, then nothing's going to work. You can scream, you can try and bang down. I've heard of people saying, we're just going to bombard the gates of heaven. You don't need to bombard the gates of heaven. They've been thrown open. And my ears used to hear, I mean, that was really spiritual. Oh, we're going to bombard the gates of heaven, you know. Like I said, it's one of those constipation prayers, you know. Why would you bombard the gates of heaven when they've been thrown open? When Jesus cried, "It is finished," God himself ripped the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
He said, "Come on in." Hallelujah. And he came out. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And it's possible now again for men and women to walk with God in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. And experience his glory in the earth. Not have to wait till they die and go to heaven. Hallelujah. Not once did Jesus say, pray this way, Lord. But like when we were taught when we were kids, you know that scary the death prayer. Lord, you know, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. This night as I lay down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I mean, how are you supposed to sleep after that? 2 hours later, you drift off to unconsciousness because you're so tired you can't stay awake any longer. But it's taking you that long because there's definitely something behind the wardrobe. I mean, come on. I mean, this week, I was taught that from the time I could understand anything, you know. Man, I should die before I wake. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Oh. But I'm glad or not, you know what I mean? I'd rather hold on to it a bit longer. Thank you very much. No, it's possible to walk with the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Every demonic stronghold, love invades the darkness. Every demonic stronghold is a stronghold of fear. You know, just as the young man has been brought to Jesus, what happens? The demon begins to cry out. Not because the boy's afraid. It's not the boy that starts to cry out, it's the demon that starts to cry out. Who knows that you can, there's an atmosphere of fear. If you walk into it, you'll feel fear. Mm-hmm. You know that, you know what the Bible says? The demons believe and tremble.
Yeah.
They're scared stiff because they believe. Even if you don't believe, they believe. Mm-hmm. And when they come into your life, they bring their fear with them. Mm-hmm. Somebody, this is really good stuff, I mean, it's just kind of flowing right now. They bring their fear. See, we think we're afraid of them. No, we're afraid because they, because we're in the, an atmosphere of fear because they bring their fear with them. Mm-hmm. You'll never have to be. Jesus was never afraid of the devil. Come on, he never showed one bit of fear in the face of the devil. Why? Because he knew it was the devil that had the fear. Does anyone know what I'm talking about there? When you walk in an atmosphere where there's fear, you feel the fear. Mm-hmm. So as the young man's been brought to Jesus, the demon begins to cry out, the boy begins to thrash about, well, it's not him, it's the demon. And then he falls down like he's dead. Who knows that if you were in the crowd that day, that could be quite scary and intimidating. Because the enemy is trying to spread the fear. Yeah. Who knows, most of what comes through the news on the TV is spreading the fear.
Yep.
You know, there's actually, I know it's, in the natural it seems crazy and you can even sit there going, because there's people actually saying, I'm going to Tunisia. Because nobody's going to stop that. I'm not going to be... They call it terrorism for a reason.
Yeah.
No other kind of warfare is called terrorism. Uh-huh. Because it's the power behind terrorism is fear. And there's even people out there without the Holy Ghost saying, no, I'm not going to be intimidated.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bow down to the fear. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be a victim to terrorism. Mm-hmm. Yep. The only power the enemy has is fear. Mm-hmm. That's all he's got. And it's powerful. I'm going to tell you, fear is powerful. Some people, you know, you tell them that the Sunday's put a spell on them, they'll die. Because they believe in the power of the spell. Mm-hmm. What's the power behind the spell? Fear. Mm-hmm. That's all. It's nothing else. The devil had all of his teeth pulled out at Calvary. I'll tell you, he might go about like a roaring lion, but all he can do is gum you to death. Somebody help me. The power, fear is very real. That's why you need to learn how to not be intimidated in the face of fear. I've been in places, I felt fear, man. I felt every hair stand up, boom, in the presence of evil. I remember just not long after I got born again, and I was lying in my bed, and my mother's house over there in Morrison Avenue, Manor Park, and I woke up, and the room was full of an evil presence. Like real stuff, you know. Literally, every hair on my body was standing to attention. And it was as real. It was just liquid fear. And I heard a voice, and this voice said, "I'm not letting you go that easy. I've had you a long time. I'm not letting you go." And I didn't know nothing about nothing, except I knew that I was facing something that was trying to bring me under control again through fear. And so I did all that I knew to do. I didn't pray this night as I lay down to sleep. I started to say this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the more I said it, the evil disappeared. Never forget. And the Lord is saying, you don't have to be afraid. I will fear no evil. I tell you, the valley of the shadow, it was more the shadow. He's trying to show up with full money. But no, I will fear no evil. I tell you, you know, a lot of people shy away from deliverance ministry because they're afraid of demonic manifestations. I've seen it before when a demon starts to manifest in church. Get the children in. I said, get the children up here. They're the ones that are probably cast out. That's what the devil wants. He wants people afraid. So he does all the stuff to try and get the fear, to spread the fear. I've seen some crazy stuff. I want to tell you, if we're unwilling to go up with a few pathetic attempts by a demon to hold on to his possession by trying to scare us off, then a lot of people are going to remain bound. And we ourselves will come under bondage to fear. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, fear is what paralyzes the church. Fear is what prevents the church from taking the land that it's been given. Because there's giants in the land. I'll tell you, it's time to invade the strongholds of darkness, because love invades the darkness. It's time to begin to take this anointing we've been given and begin to preach deliverance to the captives. Recovery of sight to the blind. It's time to set the oppressed free. In Jesus' name. It's time for the world to discover that love is not just a second-hand emotion or a sweet old-fashioned emotion, but love invades the darkness. That love overpowers the darkness. That love drives out the darkness. That love expels the darkness. Hallelujah. I think love is the most powerful force in the universe, because love never fails. That when it comes to deliverance, love has got everything to do with it. It's certainly not a second-hand emotion, and it's certainly not a sweet old-fashioned emotion. You know, a lot of people don't have a faith failure, they have a love failure. What does love do? Love invades the darkness. And love is always more powerful than the darkness. Because the darkness is powered by fear, and love, perfect love, casts out fear. Hallelujah. Trumps it every time. Amen? Number four, love inverts judgment. To invert means to put upside down or in the opposite position, order, or arrangement. So I said before, fear is the devil's primary strategy. But a close second to fear is condemnation. Fear and condemnation kind of work together. They're like first cousins, you know what I'm saying? And he tries to convince us, the enemy tries to convince us that we deserve to be the way that we are. First thing that people think when something bad happens is, what did they do to deserve that? And other people look on and say, what did they do to deserve that? Remember, we've been looking over the weeks, the man born blind, the first thing the disciples said to Jesus, did he sin or did his parents sin that he was born this week? I even heard Christians say it, well, they're just getting what they deserve. I want to tell you, well, he tries to convince us that we deserve to be the way that we are in order to lock us into a prison of hopelessness. You know what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of judgment. And he said, he went on to explain what that means. He said, because the prince of this world has been judged. I want to tell you, love inverts judgment. All of the judgment that the devil's tried to pin on us has now been turned back on him. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now. Jesus didn't even, you know, sometimes, you know, someone in deliverance, the people bring someone for deliverance, and then you go through about 12 hours of counselling to find out how it all happened and what was the entry point and blah, blah, blah. If you never teach them that stuff, there's just so much. I'm not knocking all of that. I'm just saying sometimes it's just I don't know what it is. Jesus didn't even ask how the boy had become demonized. He just asked how long has he been that way. And to be honest, I think it was just making conversation. See, judgmental people are always intent on digging around. Always trying to expose and discover every weakness and every failure. So that then they can apportion blame and establish guilt. But I tell you, love is not interested in our past. Love is only interested in our future. Love's not interested in our history. Love is interested in our destiny. Hallelujah. It's our destiny and not our history that we need to embrace. Hallelujah. Amen. Love inverts judgment. It turns it around. It takes all the judgment that the enemies try to put on us, and even sometimes even religion and the church sometimes try to put on us, and it turns it back on the devil. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of judgment, Jesus said, because the prince of this world has been judged. Hallelujah. Number five, moving this forward. Love invigorates the weak. To invigorate means to give strength or energy to. Jesus took the young man by the hand. Everybody else thought he's dead. But Jesus reaches down, takes the young man by the hand. You know what? It wouldn't matter if he was. As soon as Jesus took him by the hand, he was coming back to life, anyway.
Yeah.
You understand? Death and fear says in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus delivered those who all of their lifetimes were in bondage to the fear of death, which is the root of every other fear. That was that demon's last attempt. Somebody, come on.
Yeah.
To establish fear. The boy's dead. Jesus took the young man by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And love restored that man, that young boy, to a life worth living. Hallelujah. No more fits. No more ended up in the fire. No more trying to drown. And hallelujah. Come on now. His days of having to deal with that stuff were over. Too many people, the quality of their life has been diminished because of demonic activity. But Jesus said that he came that everyone could have and enjoy life in all of its fullness. This young man, it tells us, had been bound by a deaf and dumb spirit. But now the weak could speak. And the weak could say, I am strong. Love invigorates the weak. Love brings new strength to the weak. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, love never leaves you the way it finds you. Love will attempt everything possible to bring you into the experience of God's good and acceptable and perfect will for your life. Hallelujah. This young man, just like a lot of people with demonic problems, he would have been sidelined in the world in which he lived. People are still sidelined by these things. See, a lot of demonic activity is rooted in rejection. And rejection can lead to resentment, and resentment can lead to rebellion, and that leads to more rejection. I've seen people with a spirit of rejection, and you know what that spirit of rejection caused? More rejection. They felt so rejected that the words that came out of their mouth and the attitude they displayed caused more people to reject them. Because there was a spirit working there, and the spirit's activity was to take that person out and cause them to become a social outcast and to have full control over that person's life. So the four basic needs of every individual are unconditional love, security, acceptance, and purpose. And if you can bring love, unconditional love to someone, and just display that level of love to someone, then within that love there's security. In unconditional love there's acceptance. And when that person begins to feel secure, begins to feel accepted, it restores purpose. All of a sudden, life isn't so hopeless anymore. Hope is restored and purpose and hope go together. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, if you can just demonstrate that kind of love towards someone, I'm not afraid of you. Jesus, I mean, that legion fell. Eh? Well, Lee won legion. I don't know what I said last week. He could have been called Jacob or something. The demons were legion. Or maybe they called him legion. Maybe that was a nickname they gave him in the town that they kicked him out of. The town they were trying to keep him out of. You know, they would wrap him up with chains and stick him out in the cemetery. Try to keep him out of town. You cannot allow fear to intimidate you. You've got to let the love that's in you out. Yeah. Because we've got that, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that God pours His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But if you allow prejudice or pride, or remember the three P's of the Pharisee, pride, prejudice, preconceived ideas, you've got to all figure out. You just know how exactly how it's going to go. You just know that that person's a no-hoper, or this is the way they did it the last time or the time before that. No, no, this is time for change. Hallelujah. Or pride, you know, well, you know, who do you think they are? God, I'm the big fella, I'm the guy, I'm the man, I'm the super spiritual, I'm the Christian, come on, these are just scum of the earth. Hopeless, outcasts, no hope for these people. You know the people that, sometimes the people that I appreciate, one of the classes of Christian that I appreciate more than is the people that do prison ministry. People that go into prisons and don't know. Have you ever felt the fear in a prison? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been in prison a few times. Mm-hmm. You walk, I tell you, it's palpable. It is. Because the whole place runs on fear. Everything's about intimidation. You know, the officers exercise intimidation. The prisoners are putting out intimidation towards one another. The whole place is just fear. And there's only one thing that will be effective in that place, and that's love. And I tell you, Christians that go in there and demonstrate that love in there, man, I tell you. Jesus actually said at the very end, they're one of the categories that he's going to say, well done. Well done. I was in prison, you visited me. The four basic needs of every individual are unconditional love, security, acceptance, and purpose. Love invigorates the weak. Hallelujah. Those who feel unloved, those who feel unaccepted, marginalized, those who feel as if their lives are hopeless, as if they have no purpose, there's no reason for them to carry on living, glory to God. Only love can make a difference here. Hallelujah. And you don't even have to find it in yourself. He supplies more than enough of it. All you have to do is say, okay, Lord, I'll be your pipeline. I'll just pour it in, I'll pour it out. Number six. Love invests in our destiny. Amen? Love invests in our destiny. To invest means to endow or to provide someone with a particular quality or attribute. The disciples asked Jesus why they couldn't cast out the demon. And Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation. As I said before, a lot of times we think what we think is a faith failure is actually a love failure. And our lack of love has hindered us from pursuing the truth that would feed our faith, which in turn is activated and energized according to Galatians and made effective and put to work by love. Hallelujah. Faith works through love. And the Amplified it says faith is activated, energized, made effective and put to work by love. Hallelujah. Who remembers the troubleshooting guide the Lord gave me years ago?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to go over that again tonight. The part of it was where there is no love, there will be no faith. Love is always the problem. Love is always the root of the problem, or a lack of it. If there's a problem in your life, it's a problem in your relationships, it's because love is missing. Or love has been perverted. If there's no faith, it's because there's no love. And where there's no true revelation of unconditional love, we'll be moved out of alignment with God's will. Because every problem that God saw in the world, he believed love could solve it. Everything that was out of sync, everything that was askew, everything that was messed up, everything that was perverse, everything that was completely opposite to everything that he is, he thought, all of these things, love will solve them. Remember, Jesus took Peter, James and John up the mountain in order to give them an understanding of the secret of his power. At least that's what I believe. Not so we would just have a nice story in the Bible and we could have something called the Transfiguration with lots of syllables. It wasn't any coincidence that I believe that they walked straight into a ministry opportunity that all the other disciples had been unable to deal with. See, there's nothing that can take the place of just spending time fellowshipping with the Lord. I mean, the charismatics in the last 10, 15 years came up with a new term, soaking. As if they'd invented it. Well, it's great to get terms like that, you know, it helps you to understand, you know. Because there's something about soaking it. When you're soaking in something, you're getting saturated with it. Amen? Glory to God. Now Jesus, on the Mount of Transfiguration, was soaking. And Jesus was teaching this to his disciples before he left them because he wanted them to be always be prepared, always to be fully equipped in order to fulfill their destiny as ministers in the kingdom. Those who preach, those who taught, those who healed the sick, those who cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, and cast out demons. He said, do you want to know what the key is, what the secret to the power that you've seen manifest in my life is? Soaking. Come on. You know, you live in a hot country. There's only something you want to do at the beginning and the end of every day. Have a good soak. And that's what Jesus did, spiritually. He went out early in the morning and soaked. Sometimes he would stay out all night, he would go out at night and stay out all night soaking. You know the good thing about staying out all night soaking? You don't have to get up early in the morning. No. Revelation. Take that, write that down. There's nothing. It's just, wow. That's our destiny. There's no substitute for time spent soaking in the glory. Because the more time you spend in the more you soak up. Hallelujah. Remember what they said about Moses, his face was shining. So they saw Jesus, you know what? For a second they got to see in the Spirit what was the reality. They got to see beyond the natural, because when Jesus walked down the mountain, he wasn't shining. Naturally, but he was in the Spirit. He had glory coming out of every pore. Hallelujah. Remember when the woman pushed through the crowd and touched him in faith and he said, I felt power go out from me. I just felt my glory being revealed to somebody. There's no substitute for time spent soaking in the glory. There's no time substitute for time spent fellowshipping with the Father. And I'll tell you something else, there's no substitute for time spent fellowshipping with other believers. At that point, he wasn't getting a whole lot from Peter, James and John, so the Lord said, well, maybe Moses and Elijah would be a better idea for today. but you don't need Moses and Elijah anymore. Because every one of us, every brother and sister has the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now it's good to hang out with folks that are on the same page, at least to one extent or another. Hallelujah. But don't just spend all your time with people on the same page. Because they need other people who maybe don't have the same revelation that you've got. They need it. How are they going to get it if they don't get it from you? How shall they believe in him if they're not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear if you don't tell them? Peter, James and John, they saw Jesus transfigured, they saw him charged with heavenly glory, they saw him supercharged with supernatural love. They experienced the bright cloud that overshadowed them. They heard the voice of the Father speaking from heaven. They heard the voice of the Father affirming Jesus as his Son and worthy of being listened to. Now in Matthew chapter 6 it says in verse 6 to pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Psalm 91, it talks about the secret place of the Most High. If we choose to live in the secret place of the Most High, if we choose to live in the place of prayer where we are charged with His presence, then we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Everywhere we go, we'll be overshadowed. And there'll be continual affirmation of our sonship and the ministry that we've been given. Hallelujah. Who knows, it's that affirmation of the Father's love for us that gives us confidence and keeps us free from all fear along with its torment. Fear is torment. For we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. When we come from the secret place and go into the valley to minister, then we're immunized against the devil's counterfeit shadow, the shadow of death. Because the shadow of the glory is greater than the shadow of death. Hallelujah. And we fear no evil, because we know the Lord is with us. And He's there to confirm our words with the accompanying signs. Amen. And what's love got to do with it? Absolutely everything. When love encounters sin or sickness or oppression or any other kind of demonic activity, it has to do something with it. And you know, folks, that's our destiny. Because when love shows up, even the demons tell the truth. I remember one time a demon said to me, and the person, now he wasn't the person because the person didn't know me at the time that the demon was referring to. And this demon said to me one time, "Why didn't you go back on the drink? We liked you a lot there when you were on the drink." And then he said, so I'm really interested, he said, "Why don't you go back to the Church of Scotland? We liked you a lot there when you were in the Church of Scotland." I thought, ooh. Fuck. I thought, wow, thank you very much for that insight. The devil would prefer I went back to the Church of Scotland because he liked me a lot better when I was there. I kid you not, but that is the absolute truth. See, when love shows up, even the demons tell the truth. Love, and this time I'll be there for done. Love invokes truth. Love invites action. Love invades darkness. Love invites judgment. Love invigorates the weak. And love invests in our destiny. We have a destiny, folks, and that is to go into this week. Your destiny starts here. Amen. Hallelujah. If there's any part of your history that's still troubling you, just drop it right now. Just drop it right now and just embrace your destiny. Because your destiny is to go into this coming week. It starts here, to go into this coming week. And Jesus said, go tell them about the kingdom. Go bring them the good news of the kingdom. Go bring them the good news of how much their Father in heaven loves them. And while you're at it, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. And cast out demons. Because freely you have received. Freely give. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you so loved the world that you gave. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that that same love that you love the world with, I thank you that you're pouring it into our hearts right now by your Holy Spirit. Lord, so that that same love will manifest in us and through us so that we too will be givers. Free givers of that which we freely receive. Hallelujah. Pour in your love into every situation, into every place where darkness thinks it reigns and rules. Because perfect love casts out the fear that controls the darkness. And darkness loses its power when fear's power is broken. In Jesus' name. Amen.